Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Glad to see y'all here, and I'm glad to be here with you on this Christmas day. As you can see, or Christmas Eve, and as you can see, I'm running a little bit behind in my decorating. In our family, we have a tradition of going to a Christmas tree farm. Anybody ever cut their tree down and brought it into the house? Say amen. Amen. Anybody never done that? Say amen. Amen. Y'all need to live a little. You realize you're on the edge of Jefferson County right here, right? The woods are not that far. But we would go out, and especially when I was little and the other kids hadn't been born yet and I kind of had free range until they got bigger, I would run through the forest and I would always try and find the very best tree. I would look around and I would say, oh, Mom, that one's not good, it's this one. Dad, that one's not good, it's this one. I found the perfect tree. And you don't realize how many trees are actually an option to be a Christmas tree at your house until you get to the forest and you look around and you realize the forest is made of trees, right? But we never got like a pine tree or a fir tree because those were expensive at the Christmas tree farm. Like a tree this size might have been like $120 or $150 bucks. So we always got a cedar tree because you could get as big of a cedar tree as you wanted for 10 whole dollars. So we were cedar tree people. But cedar trees have these unique problems that I don't think these pine trees or fir trees or whatever these are have. Cedar trees down at the bottom, sometimes they have a double trunk, and you can't put a double trunk in a tree stand. Cedar trees, when you lift them up, sometimes they have these big bare spots, and they have these big brown spots, and they have these big bald spots, and so we'd be turning the tree around, and you'd be like, oh no, you can't hang an ornament here, or it's way too thin. So we were kind of picky about the tree we were going to have in the house. And all these seemingly insignificant trees suddenly became important when we were thinking about taking them out of the woods, taking them into the house, decorating them, putting all the lights on them. How many of you guys, your Christmas tree is kind of the centerpiece of your Christmas decorations? So it's kind of a big deal for the tree. But I wanted to have a lot of input on it when I was a kid. And you know, kids say the darndest things, right? How many of you have family coming over for Christmas and you're a little bit nervous about what your kids are going to say? And they're in their 20s. I just actually had a friend, and their grandchild was in kindergarten, and they went to the kindergarten program, and they did their song and they did their poem, and then they did this cute little thing where they asked them all what they would ask Santa Claus. So they asked this question, hey, what would you ask Santa Claus? Oh, how do you like the North Pole? What would you ask Santa Claus? How do you like Mrs. Claus? What would you ask Santa Claus? Who's your favorite reindeer? Then they asked the next one, what would you ask Santa Claus? What's your favorite cookie? Then I guess the next kid forgot his question, and so he like panicked and asked the last question. So they asked him, what would you ask Santa Claus? What's your favorite cookie? And I guess the next kid thought that's what they were supposed to be doing now. So they said, what would you ask Santa Claus? And he said, and then the fourth kid thought, well, this is just the way we're going now. So they asked him, what would you ask Santa Claus? And he said, and they got stuck in that little vein for a minute till they got to this one little boy. And they said, what would you ask Santa Claus? He said, I'd ask him what's his favorite beer. He had a different kind of question, and it got noticed. So kids say the darndest things, and I would get out into the Christmas tree farm and get looking around, and I would want my tree picked, I would want my voice heard, and this seemingly insignificant tree, I mean, I don't know how old this tree is, I don't think they grow very fast, so I mean, I would assume this tree is probably a good 15 years old. So I guess 15 years ago, somebody on that property planted this tree for the hope that somebody would come down and pay a lot more money than I paid when I stole it. No, I didn't steal the tree. I didn't even go get the tree. How many of you know I did not cut down this tree in this outfit? Well, speaking of outfits, I brought a picture of me when I was younger. Actually, Austin's 2 years old in this picture, and we're cutting down a tree. This is 1992. Anybody want to see the picture? Why don't y'all put that up there so we can make fun of my hair? The blonde perm, though. What's up with the blonde perm? Who had a perm back in the day? And that is now, 26 years later after that picture, that is Pastor Austin. Actually, probably 27 years after that picture, Pastor Austin. Ashton looked at that picture and she went, "Mom, your hair, though." And I said, "I know." She said, "But that outfit is totally in style. Do you still have those clothes?" "No, baby, I don't. If I could still fit in them, I would still own them." So we have these things. We have these memories. We have our traditions. And somehow, sometimes Christmas can just be Christmas, can just be Christmas. It's another Christmas. I mean, we're going to get the tree. We're going to do the presents. We're going to freak out. We're going to cook the food. We're going to do all of our stuff. It's just another Christmas. Anybody, Christmas brings stress? Like, what the heck is that for? Why do we freak out for 30 days so that the living room can be destroyed in under 30 minutes? Right, 30 minutes later, it's all washed away. And we get to thinking, what does it really matter anything? What do I really matter anyway? What is it all about? And I got to thinking, that's really what Joseph had to be thinking when he got involved in this whole thing of the very first Christmas. And I mean, Mary gets a lot of press. I mean, she was pregnant after all and rode on this donkey and went this long journey and carried the baby. And I get that's a big deal. Trust me, I've carried a baby. All the women, at least amen me right now. Amen. And then baby Jesus gets a lot of press because it's his birthday. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He did leave heaven to come to earth. That's a pretty big deal. So everybody understand that? Say amen. But then Joseph. Joseph's this dude. He doesn't get much airplay. In Luke 2, they barely mention him. In Matthew 1, they talk about Joseph just a little bit and what it is he really had to deal with. You see, because the story is interesting, and maybe you can follow along up there while I tell the story a little bit, but Joseph was just a guy whose mom and dad chose his wife, and her mom and dad chose Joseph. So what happened is, like, Mary's walking down the street, and she's like, "Oh, is that him? Because he's cute." "No, okay. Is that him? Because he's cute." "No, that's okay." And then they go through the door, and this guy comes walking through. He's like, "Hey, Mary, it's so good to meet you. I'm Joseph." I can't imagine how many of those. And there was the panic, because this is going to be the person that you're married to for the rest of your life, and you don't even get to choose. So this guy, Joe, meets this girl, Mary. Here they are. And Mary's 13 whole years old. That's the average age, the normal age, the traditional age where they take the girl and they present her to a family for them to become betrothed, to become engaged. It's a big formal ceremony. It's a huge thing. Then they start planning the wedding. Well, it's all coming down, and suddenly Mary leaves town and goes to her Aunt Elizabeth's house for about 3 months, and the rumors start to fly. "Joseph, man, her Mary got knocked up. What happened? Hey, Joseph, what about your girl?" Other guys are like, "Joe, Tomcat, my boy, high five. Way to just get busy." And Joseph's like, "No, the baby's not mine." So here he is dealing with these rumors, dealing with these thoughts. And what we don't really think about today is that the crime of getting pregnant outside of wedlock came with a punishment punishable by death by stoning. And I'm not talking about the Colorado kind, you know? Y'all are either slow or trying to be too holy on Christmas Eve. Just saying, because I know what you know what I meant right there. Just saying. So she's punishable by death, and Joseph is deciding, am I going to deal with this? Am I going to have this woman killed? I don't even know this girl. What am I supposed to do? And so he's trying to figure it out, and he falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, I don't know if he had Papa John's, if he had Domino's, Taco Bell, what he had eaten that night, but he had this wild dream. And it goes on to say, while he was still debating with himself, he goes to sleep, he has a supernatural dream. And in this supernatural dream, it says that an angel from the Lord appeared to him in clear light. And the angel said to Joseph, "Joseph, descendant of David." I really like how the angel didn't just call him by name, but called him by name and really let him know he knew who he was. Because I think a lot of times we get to thinking, we know God is real and we know God is here and we know who God is, but we're not really sure that God knows who we are. And if he does know who we are, he's probably not aware of our situation and what's happening. And we don't even really check in with him that much, just kind of on the really big stuff sometimes when we're thinking about it, but we should check in with him more, but we don't. So I'm not even sure if we're on the register and does he even really care because he's got so much to worry about? But no, God's in heaven. And he says, hey, I don't only know your first name. I know your middle name. I know your last name. I know the number of freckles on your face and on your butterface. You know what a butterface is? When everything's pretty butterface. Y'all are a tough crowd. God knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs you have or how many hairs you've lost, depending on what stage of life you're in. He knows where you've been, where you're going. He not only knows all of these things about you, but he, get this, planned it all and orchestrated it all to happen a certain way at a certain time, no matter what the circumstances look like. You see, some of you were thinking, man, this is the hardest Christmas ever. I don't have enough money to buy presents for my kids, or I just recently lost somebody that I love, or I just got divorced, or I just moved to a new town. I don't have anybody to celebrate with. I don't really know what to do for the next 36 hours because it's going to be so different. Other people are thinking, my family came to town and they're staying at my house. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 36 hours because I'm going to kill somebody. Y'all aren't laughing because the family's sitting by you. I get it. That's all right. That's all right. Laugh on the inside. It's going to be okay. So the angel says, Joseph, descendant of David, and he says it that way because God knows who you are. Matter of fact, I'd just like for you to repeat that right now. I want you to say, God knows who I am. Say, he knows my name. I want you to say something next level. I want you to say, God named me. Not even your name is by accident. He says, Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as wife. Joseph's like, what? Huh? I really love how the Bible manuscript does not include Joseph's part of the conversation. You know the boy said something. He only puts in the angel's part of the conversation because I really think Joseph's part had to be edited out for language. He's like, no, angel, I got to tell you, this chick, let me tell you what she did. And maybe need a little background. So let's get some background for a second. You see, they lived in a town called Nazareth. Nazareth was an army town. Army town, what? Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. They lived in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. There's an army base there. Except for this isn't even a friendly army base. This is the enemy's army base. It's the Roman army base. And so here these enemy Roman soldiers are, and they're bored on Friday night, and they're looking for some entertainment. So the local Jewish girls went and entertained the Roman soldiers on Friday nights, and they picked up some extra cash. And so Joseph's pretty sure that Mary is just another one of these young Jewish girls who's doing things she shouldn't do, and now he's saddled with her. And he's like, no, angel, you don't get it. This is not fair. I did not misbehave. I don't deserve this in my life. What have I done? And I think a lot of us kind of get that way with life. Like, God, why did I get hurt like that? What did I do to deserve them to leave me? What did I do to deserve my boss to just talk about me like that? What do I do to make anybody happy? What do I do to make ends meet, make the money, be able to just afford gifts? God, what? That's where Joseph was. He's like, what is happening? I'm supposed to just believe you, angel? And he says, yeah, take Mary into your home as wife because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. Joseph's like, whoa, but you are out there. What have you been smoking? I'm just wondering because if you know how this works, I don't think that happened. And he goes on to tell him, she will give birth to a son, and you're to name him Savior, for he's destined to live his life to save people from their sins. Joseph's like, bro, you even robbed me of my gender reveal party. I was going to throw confetti, I was going to have blue and pink cupcakes and the one we eat, and you tell everybody, son, you tell everybody the name. But it was enough detail that he knew that he was talking about him. He knew he was talking about his right now. He knew he had to listen to what the angel was saying. And I mean, I get it. I get feeling insignificant. I get feeling out of place. I get not understanding what's going on in life. One of my roughest Christmases was a Christmas where, if you guys know my story, I married a guy, And he became a drug addict, and he spent all our money, and he didn't get better, and he went through rehab a bunch of times. And I remember the first Christmas I went through all that, I didn't have any money. I couldn't buy any presents. I was living through what was the hell of my life up until that point. And I had a tree, but I didn't have any presents underneath it. And one of the only places I could seem to find peace is I would climb up under the tree, and I would turn over on my back, and I would stare from underneath the tree up through the tree and look at the lights and the ornaments, and I would just breathe. And somehow in that weird place, that's where I could connect with God, underneath this tree. This insignificant tree that had once been growing in a forest was suddenly my place of refuge. You know, I think that's your life today. You think my insignificant life where I can't seem to get anything right 2 days in a row? How could my life ever be impactful or be important or make a difference? The tree that I laid under that year is probably the only Christmas tree that I can even really remember what it looked like without looking at a picture of one year or another. Because I looked at that tree so many hours that year. I'm telling you, you've sold yourself short. You don't think that much of you. But I'm telling you right now, God really does. He thought about you since before the beginning of time. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew all about you. I knew what you were going to like. I knew what you were going to hate. I knew what you were going to put up there for Throwback Thursday and Woman Crush Wednesday and Man Crush Monday. I knew what was going to float your boat, and I knew what was going to make you stop. But you see, it's those things that are going to make you stop and try and take you out of my will. Like Joseph with Mary. He's like, that's when I'm going to need you to trust me in this whole obedience thing, because I have a plan for you, and I know you don't see it, and I know you think life is crazy, and I know you think you're holding on by a thread, but he's here to tell you, God's here to tell you today, because you're not here by accident. You're not here because your family invited you. You're not here because this is what my family does on Christmas Eve. You're not even on this state on accident right now. I'm here to tell you, God has a word for you, and his word is, it's not over yet. My plans for you are for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end, and the end I have for you is to give you a future and a hope. It's not over, baby. There's more. I know it looks rough, but there's more. I know it seems trivial, but there's more. I know you feel trivial, but there's more. There's more. You see, Joseph felt trivial, but he was actually 28 generations after David. In Matthew 1, verse 17, there were 14 generations from David to the captivity, another 14 from the captivity to Jesus. His timing of his birth was just right. He was born in just the right place. He was born in Nazareth because it had been prophesied that Jesus would be a Nazarene. He was in just the right place at just the right time to meet Mary. And God knew that deep inside this man who thought he didn't make a difference, that he would listen. He would listen to God and he would obey. You see, obedience is the blessing exchange. And obedience isn't obedience until we got to do that thing that we don't even want to do. That's when obedience kicks in. You see, when the circumstances look crazy, and I want to tell you this, what it looks like might not be what it is. I want to say that one more time. What it looks like might not be what it is, because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So if we walk by faith and not by sight, we can't look at what it is. We have to look at who he is. And once we look at who he is, he's going to show us things we could have never seen. Once we wake up, in Matthew 1, verse 24, it said, when Joseph awoke from the dream, and that's what this is. This is your wake-up call. This is your wake-up call so that you remember. This is your wake-up call so that you see. This is your wake-up call so you become conscious of just how special and unaccidental you are. You are not a product of a Friday night and your mommy and your daddy and they met one time. You don't even really know him. No, you're not an accident. You are on purpose. So he awoke, and after he awoke, it says, and he did all that the angel of the Lord instructed him to do. So I got a question for you. What's God telling you to do? Where don't you want to go? Because it's those things, it's those hard yeses. Might mean the in-laws come to stay the winter. That kid can't imagine it. It's the hard yeses. It's the hard things. It's the hard diggings when it seems insignificant. Joseph, 28 generations in, Joseph from Nazareth, Joseph in the right place at the right time, in the right town with the right girl, and then they get together, and get this, let's go back to verse 24 one time. This proves that he was the right guy, because it says in the rest of verse 24, he did all God instructed him to do, and here, this shows how great he is, because it says next that he took Mary to be his wife, which means he legally can do all the stuff he wants to do. And then he still refrained from a couple of words that are up on the screen that I'm not going to say out loud right now. Until she gave birth to her son. Now, I understand he thought she was experienced. I understand what he had heard about her. I understand that they were married and it was legal. And they still didn't consummate the marriage for months. I'm here to tell you, Joseph is better than we are. Amen. He did all. He did the hard stuff. And then he took this girl who he couldn't kiss, and he took her to this little town called Bethlehem. He left a small town and went to a smaller town. Seemed like an insignificant town, but nothing is insignificant, even the name of the town. You see, Bethlehem translated means two different things. It means city of bread, and it means city of fighters. Isn't it interesting that the bread of life was born in this town, and then he went to hell to take the keys from death, hell, and the grave and fight for those and take them back from the enemy after Adam lost them, so we had them. And he's in this little town called Bethlehem, in this little obscure place that are miles from home, where you wouldn't think that a baby that's the King of Kings, a baby that's the Lord of Lords, would then have to go into this insignificant little manger, which it says there was no room in the inn, but there probably weren't any hotels back in that day, actually. The inns were actually the bottom part of the people's houses. The people lived in the top part, and the animals lived in the bottom part when it was cold outside. So they're in the basement of somebody's house, which is kind of the garage where they keep the donkeys. And so they're in there with the donkeys underneath. That's not where a baby should be born, because Bethlehem was within 3 miles of Herod's castle. Herod was the king of the time. Herod's castle was the third largest in the world at that time. Herod's castle had 95-foot high walls. Herod's castle was on 225 plush, beautiful, manicured acres. That's where the King of Kings should be born, not here. The King of Kings should be born to a king. But then they would say it was the king's influence and royalty that made him special. The King of Kings should be born to a rich man, but then they would say it was the money that gave him all of the power. The King of Kings should be born to somebody with a lot of influence, somebody political, but then they would say it was the influence that made him powerful. You see, sometimes Jesus has to allow us to go down to this level so nobody can say that it was us or it was them or they made us, but they can say, no, it was God Almighty working in their life. He has lifted them up and made them great and mighty so we can proclaim his name. So what's the problem with insignificance again? What's the problem with the fact that they don't know our name and they don't know our town and they don't know where we're from? You see, 1 Peter 2:9, it reminds us of who we are. And it says you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation. You are God's own purchased, special people. And that he drew us to him and to his light out of darkness. I just want to ask you, if things seem dark in your life or an area right now, God has not forgotten about you. He's in heaven and he knows your name. Matter of fact, Ephesians 1:4 says he chose us before the foundation of the world. He didn't build the world and find our place in it. He had us and he built the world for it. God's got plans for you. And they're for good and not for evil. To bring you to an expected end. Psalm 139, it tells you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what he said about you. No matter what she said about you. It was Joseph's insignificance that allowed him to be a part of the narrative that not only changed the world, but also changed history. Not only changed history, it also changed eternity. If he had been any more significant at that moment, people would have been able to say it was because of him that it happened and not in spite of him that it happened. God has some things planned for you on this very Christmas that can change the narrative in your world. And so I want to invite you into prayer right now. If you believe that there's some stuff going on in your life and it's junk and you don't think it's fair and you don't think it's been cut out right and you don't think you were dealt a fair hand, and that's okay. I want to pray for you. If you feel like you're insignificant and looked over and you don't matter or you can't seem to find your place, maybe you're struggling a little bit with where do I belong? God, where do you want me? I want to pray for you. And so for my friends that I'm going to pray with tonight, I'd like to invite everybody to stand right now. And those friends that I'm going to pray for tonight, I'm going to ask you to join me in the sign of surrender if you're comfortable. Why do we do this at Faith Church? Because it says, God, I surrender me to you. I surrender my will to yours. It's none of me and it's all of you. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, I pray for each and every one of my friends. God, as we just release it. God, when we're weak, that's when you're strong. When we're strong, we restrict your ability to move. So, Father God, here we are saying, in our weakness, flourish, Lord. In our broken, dry, and empty places, we give you broken vessels. And know that you not only mend them, but you make them whole. And that you fill them. Not just to the top, but to overflowing. I speak overflow. I speak abundant blessing. I speak the favor of God in the breath of heaven. I speak the blood of Jesus in the hand of the Lord. I speak that miracles are moving in and struggles are moving out. I declare in the name of Jesus that a wave of breakthrough is coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And it is culminating in this place with these people. And we will declare your power and your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you go ahead and just worship him tonight?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.